Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently. Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have the Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get the Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
The latest with Deshaun Watson is that he is going to start in the Browns preseason opener against the Jacksonville Jaguars, which I think is interesting on a number of different levels. Let's start with just the very, very basic football fandom level. I'm very curious to see what Deshaun Watson looks like after having not played competitive football. I know it's preseason, but they are opposing jerseys out there. I'm interested to see what he looks like in a somewhat normal football environment after being gone for a year and a half.
Everybody is, especially the Browns fans, because they paid so dearly to get him. I saw somebody pointed out this week that if he gets suspended for the season, by the time he comes back and actually plays, the Texans will have used two of their first-round draft choices and a couple of more before he sets foot on a field in regular season game. But we're all eager to see, is he off target? Do they make it really easy for him? Does he run? Does he play one series or two? They have to get him playing time. But then they have to balance that with Jacoby Brissett playing time. And then there's talk, and we've talked about this before, report out of Cleveland that if indeed he's done for the season or it's longer than six games, that the Browns would make a run for Jimmy Garoppolo, which makes sense. So it's almost like watching a car wreck when you can't help, whether you slow down or not, you at least look over, because that's what the Deshaun Watson situation has been, car wreck.
Yeah, well, and look, I'm just glad that the car has a orange and brown coat of paint on it and not deep steel blue and battle red like the car wreck last year. Having spent plenty of time out of Texans training camp, I think there's a vibe out there that things have definitely moved forward and they're moving in the right direction. John, as far as Deshaun goes, just I've been listening to a lot of Cleveland radio lately, and one of the theories that they were espousing when this announcement was made that he was going to be starting this game was that maybe it forces the hand a little bit of the NFL to make a decision. Attorney, former New Jersey Attorney General Peter Harvey is the one that is reviewing the appeal. He's the one that's going to decide what the punishment is going to be. We know that since you and I last talked on this podcast, Roger Goodell has made some public comments at a meeting in Minneapolis when they were approving the sale of the Broncos about Deshaun and the situation. And he's basically confirmed that they're looking to suspend him, banish him for a year from football. Do you think that the potential of Deshaun seeing the field, even in a preseason game, is enough to expedite this process to where where Peter Harvey has some sort of decision by the time kickoff rolls around at 6 o'clock Eastern time on Friday?
I don't know why it would. He's got all the evidence. I don't think he's going to be affected by what's going on outside. He's got to read all the evidence. You know, he'll do it a couple times. You know, there's people that he'll consult and before he makes his final decision. And everybody thinks he's going to do what Goodell wants done because he's making a lot of money off this. The NFL pays well. So if he were to uphold the six-game suspensions, he wouldn't be involved in this in the future. And the fact that he helped formulate the personal conduct policy, and it's worded very strongly, and he's worked on other cases like Ezekiel Elliott, everybody's expecting him to do what Goodell wants. Goodell called it egregious and predatory behavior, which Sue Robinson had already said. So I think he's going to be gone for a year. And then the question is, does the union go to federal court and try to get it where he can play? I know Mike Florio has said he has to be suspended for the first six games, even if they sue in federal court, because the union did not challenge did not appeal like the NFL did. And I don't understand all the legal mumbo jumbo, but it would make sense. I know some people in Cleveland are saying that he should negotiate a settlement, see if they would give him 10 or 12 games, at least so he could play this season when they might still be in a playoff race and be around his teammates and learn what it's like to play with them. Sounds to me like his legal people should have done that, but they didn't. Yeah. All they wanted, they agreed to six, and that was it.
Yeah, John, you bring up an interesting point there. You were alluding to it, but I think it's worth mentioning explicitly that there's a big difference between a one-year suspension and a 12-game suspension. And it's not just those five games. It's not just five more games. One is a 12-game suspension, to your point, kind of if they can go 6-6 during those 12 games, which I think is doable with that roster and that schedule, then Deshaun comes back and he could be the Superman flying in for the last five games of the year to bail the season out. That's number one. But number two, the big difference I think people need to understand is that if it's a one-year suspension, an indefinite suspension with a one-year minimum, that is a banishment. That's not a suspension. He would have to reapply, which means that he gets walked out of the building basically that day, that if that's the ruling. Whereas with a suspension of six games or 12 games, he can still participate in practice and in film and the preseason. Now, once the regular season rolls around, he's not allowed at the facility. But I think that's a distinct difference, especially John. Like, what if the NFL? Now, this would be something. Like, what if the NFL announced the punishment while warmups were going on tomorrow night? Like, they walk out and basically have to take Deshaun's jersey off of him. Like, as they're going through warmups, if the NFL, I know they're not going to do that, but it's a hilarious visual. Like, they make him disrobe at the middle of the field, and he has to leave with just a little white towel protecting him. That's all. Like, that's his punish. That's part of his punishment, is just embarrassing him as he leaves the field. I think it's a really interesting thing that he's going to be starting for them tomorrow. I do wonder if that makes the next 24 hours a little saucy for us here.
I thought he was going to start it all along because they need to get him playing time and get it while they can. If they brought him off the bench and said, well, we'll start him the next game, it's going to be over by then, definitely. The NFL likes to do news dumps on Friday, and Mike Florio made such a big deal out of that for weeks. I said, there's no way they're going to do the dump on Friday. And then Florio come back and say, ha-ha, I told you so. So I don't expect it to be tomorrow night either for that very reason. But it's got to be coming soon. You got to be fair to the Browns. And I'm not talking about the Haslams and the $230 million guaranteed that other teams are infuriated over. I'm talking about players who had nothing to do with it, their fans who've had nothing to do with it. Just get it over. But if they sue in federal court, it's not going to be over.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Yeah, and I don't know what their success is going to be at getting an injunction. That's an interesting wrinkle you brought up with Florio, that even taking it to court and try to get an injunction, that the first six games is still totally valid. That's interesting to me. All right, so last thing on this, you mentioned it. The Browns are reportedly they have Jimmy Garoppolo on the radar right now. What do you think, John? What do you think the difference is between a Jimmy Garoppolo? Let's pretend Deshaun's gone for the season. What do you think the ceiling is for a Jacoby Brissett-led Browns team and a Jimmy Garoppolo-led Browns team? Like, what's the difference? Two wins, three wins? Like, what do you think the delta is between those two quarterbacks?
First of all, we don't know that Garoppolo's totally healthy, and he might need time to get healthy, not to mention learning the system. So he might be acquired and not play right away. Mm-hmm. And the thing about Garoppolo, he needs to be a game manager. So does Jacoby Brissett. They got a great running game. They have a good defense, good offensive line, good enough receivers. So I think they would still be almost as good as any team in that division. Cincinnati's not great. The Ravens are not great. The Steelers are not great. They can stay in the race. And if they get Garoppolo, who's been to the Super Bowl in spite of himself, and he did it, so he's got the experience, they'd be much better off. It'd be a game of chicken. If he's on the roster of the 49ers when the regular season begins, his $24 million is guaranteed.
Yeah.
So they want to trade him. And so, you know, the Browns would not offer him a high pick, but they would also want the contract redone, where, like Baker Mayfield, where he took a pay cut, had a chance to make up the difference based on his playing time and the team's success. But it just makes so much more sense. You know, they don't want to trade Jimmy G to Seattle. You don't think they do. And I can't imagine why Seattle has not been interested. Seattle was interested in Watson. And early on, and Watson's people said, thanks, but no thanks. He's just not interested in moving across the country. And that's why the teams that he dealt with, Carolina, New Orleans, Atlanta, and then Cleveland, because of the money's where he went, even though they were first out. You know, he just didn't want to go across the country. And I don't blame him, but you think about Seattle and Geno Smith or Drew Lock, it seems like Garoppolo would look better and better, but Cleveland just makes so much more sense.
Yeah, it really does. It really does. That it feels like just a Eastern time zone version of what he had in San Francisco, right down to the system, the talent around him, the running game, all those things. All right. So that's on Deshaun Watson, and we'll see what happens here over the next 24, 48 hours, 7 days, whatever it is. No indication really from the league as to when a ruling is going to be made, or I should say from Peter Harvey, who's hearing the appeal.